Hello, boys and girls of Credit Union Land, and welcome to episode 71 of the CU Insight Experience. This episode is brought to you by our friends at PSCU. As the nation's premier payments CUSO, PSCU proudly supports the success of more than 1,500 credit unions. My name is Randy Smith. I'm one of the co-founders of CUinsight.com, and it is my job on the show to have conversations with the best and the brightest of the credit union community. I get to pick their brains and see if we can't find a few nuggets that we can all learn from. My guest on today's show is Carrie Burkhofer. Carrie is the president and CEO of Bay Federal Credit Union in beautiful California. If you can't tell, I am missing the beach right now as we're social distancing up here in Connecticut. So after hearing some of Carrie's background and doing a little research on the old interwebs, I was really looking forward to this conversation. And I'm going to tell you, it did not disappoint. Not only is Carrie the CEO of a credit union, she's also an executive coach. So we talked a lot about the experience that she's had from not only being a coach, but having executive coach. Also, pretty cool experience that she had on Necker Island. Yes, that's Richard Branson's private island. And how that networked has helped her lead through this interesting experience we're all sharing together called COVID-19. As you can probably imagine, Carrie has had some amazing nuggets to share with us in the leadership and the life hacks portion of the show. I was trying not to be rude looking away while we were recording, but I had to make a few notes for myself personally. So anyways, as always, we finished it all up with the rapid fire questions to wrap up the show. This conversation was a ton of fun, as I said, and it continued well after we stopped recording. I look forward to being able to move around the country again, and hopefully my path crosses with Carrie to continue this conversation in person. So without further ado, I give you my conversation with Carrie Burkhofer. Enjoy. Carrie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Randy.
Interesting times we are all living through here. So it really does. It opens us up to so many different directions that we could go. The one place I did want to start, though, was when Jill introduced us, she talked about the leadership training and executive coaching side of things that you've dealt with and been through. And I wanted to ask, just by starting, how has that helped you lead in this crazy experience that we're all sharing together?
Thank you. I have had the honor of going through executive coaching myself and now being part of a company that I've started. In addition to being CEO of a credit union, we started Centrina Leadership. And it was with an executive coach that I met on this amazing experience I ended up having on Necker Island with Richard Branson.
Jeez, so, that's right.
It was really cool. And I met Suzanne there, and I ended up hiring her as my executive coach. And all of the work I did with her has been so helpful as I've kind of gone through a lot of experience as a CEO. And then I got to a point where I think it was a midlife crisis. I think I started to realize what is the purpose of my life? What am I doing? Is this it? Some of those kind of esoteric questions. And I got really good clarity about what my role is. And a lot of it has to do with leaders getting outside of their own head. You get stuck in your own head. You're thinking about yourself, even before I did this podcast, I was nervous. I'm thinking about me. What if I sound dumb? But it's really about helping other people. That's what leadership is about. It's about giving yourself so others can shine and they can do their best work. And I've learned so much about that. And it's funny how these kind of situations that we're in right now give us so many lessons to learn. I keep thinking I've learned the big lessons and, oh, here they come again, right?
Here's a whole new set that we have to deal with, right?
Exactly. And I think the biggest essence of leadership that I've learned over the years is to first know yourself, understand what that inner voice is always talking to you about and try and tame it. And then before you respond to something, you choose yourself. So you're not always just responding without thinking. You're being thoughtful and you're being aware that it's not all about you, it's about others. And so I've been getting lots of practice with that again as we've moved very quickly in this time that we're in. So like I said, I never stop learning.
That's beautiful. I have to ask, how did you end up at, I would assume it's a pretty exclusive event to be on Richard Branson's island.
Yeah, so I got invited by this group called Change Makers Rule Breakers, and okay. It kind of fit me perfectly. I'm always looking for you know, how do we do things differently? And it's an entrepreneur group that people from all over the world had, through the people that organized it, they invited people. You had to know someone that was invited and get kind of vetted that way. And you pay money for sure. It's not cheap. Yeah. but, you know, I found out that it's much, Richard's pretty smart. He took his dream island that he lives on and he turned it into a way to sustain his lifestyle by inviting groups of people there. And so almost every week, there's a group of people that come on the island and have an experience, and it's curated. It's really fun. He's a really fun person. You can experience living there. And also, he likes to make it so that he learns as well. So he participates with you. And this was an idea sharing group. I ended up being talking a lot about culture and building an organization, but other people are there for, at the time, blockchain was really big and cryptocurrency. Yep. I mean, it still is, but it was like, it was the height of it. And it's only like 20, 25 people at a time. So I made lifelong friends from all over the world in my 1 week that I was there and just had an amazing experience.
I love that. You know, a few years back, as somebody else who loves personal growth, like when I first started journaling on a daily basis, one of the things, like the questions I kept asking myself was, what makes me feel alive? And I kept going down that rabbit hole, but it was the shared experience is one of the things that I came down to in the end. It was like after going and going and going, but it was that, and it's what I get from travel and things like that too, is just where you're meeting other people and learning stories. So that's fantastic.
Well, look at how you're doing it with your podcast too. So that's awesome.
You know, I told people often in the first season that this podcast was such a scratch my own itch thing, where it was like, you know, there were things I was struggling with from a leadership perspective. So let's ask a bunch of smart people what they think. So a lot of the questions are just, I'm glad other people like to hear the answers too, but they were for That's me in awesome. The beginning. So, you know, one of the questions that I had, you know, as you mentioned, CEO of the credit union, obviously, do you think this, you know, we'll call it the COVID-19 experience that we're going through will change the way that members interact with the credit union going forward?
Oh, I think, I mean, the crisis itself is horrible and all of that, you know, I don't want to ever overlook, but I think this is such a tremendous opportunity right now. We have moved in 3 weeks, leaps and bounds in our digital connection with members, the way that we're processing information, the way we're working together. We've been looking for this, I think, as an industry that we, you know, almost since I've been in the industry, it's like someday the branches will be dead or we're not going to have the, you know, people coming into a branch. I think many credit unions completely close their branches and they're still helping their members. So it's allowing us to move forward very quickly. And we're also seeing the opportunities for improvement because we're stumbling in some areas. But I think the digital divide is going to maybe be greater between organizations, but also the ones that are embracing digital, it's going to be help us move forward in a big way and reduce expenses probably in the long run as well.
Yeah, that is for sure. We were on a call with a bunch of credit union CEOs, and you could see the different reactions on two of their faces. One canceled a new headquarter build because they hadn't started yet, and the other was like, already have steel in the ground. And, you know, just that idea of like, you know, what does that look like? And then the other, you know, Jill's talked a lot about it, is that idea, well, there was low unemployment and there was that war for talent, but the idea of, like, I think credit unions are seeing that people could work remote, right? Like,
right.
So that just opens up who you can recruit and everything. So, you know, the next question I had for you was, you know, as a leader, you not only have to think about the members, but during this time, your team as well. First, I would ask, I know we talked about this a little bit before we hit record, but for everybody else, how's your team holding up? And, you know, is that foul up any, this is kind of leaning on your CEO side, but also your coaching side, any, you know, tips that are working well to keep everybody healthy, both mentally and physically?
Yeah, for sure. This has been such a different time to operate. My team and I actually have been closer during this than we were maybe before. We used to meet monthly. I'm not a big fan of meetings. So I would, you know, set direction and then we would check in, and a lot of informal meetings and projects moving forward. We meet daily now. We have a 1 hour daily call. And it's been great. I look forward to it. We're probably going to back off a little bit going forward just so we can get some stuff done. But in that first couple of weeks here, we were making decisions quickly and we had a lot of decisions to make. One of the things I learned was, and through leadership always, is making sure people are okay. You know, do they have everything they need? Are their family situations okay? And understanding and connecting with them throughout the organization, making sure people's needs are met. That's where I have a lot of passion, is caring about other people. And so we spent time as a leadership team, first checking in on all of our teams and making sure everyone's all right. And then something I learned too in this process is to get out of their way a little bit. I was making decisions because they were looking for me to make some of them, but then I fumbled on a couple, and I spent like a weekend thinking about, wow, we just made this really big decision that is going to have a big impact to income. It'll help members, but maybe they don't need the level of help that I just said that we're going to do. And I kind of told them, like, I'm putting my foot in the ground. We're going to do this. And, you know, everyone was like, okay, well, we have some thoughts about it. And I finally overrode them. And then I thought about it over the weekend, like, oh, I think I moved too quickly. I started to think through my own decision. And so we came back with a new process that I implemented where everyone can bring forward a thought on something, but they need to write it out and present it to the team and get other people's feedback on it. And we kind of came up with the phrase, which I heard before somewhere else, and I wish I knew who said it. I could probably look it up, but it's go slow to go smooth, because smooth is fast. Okay. And I had to put that in place. So yeah, it's like, I'm still learning along the way, you know, had to admit I made a mistake. Let's backtrack on my decision, you know, and everyone was relieved. And I actually got, it was almost, sometimes when you make a mistake, it's better because then people realize if you admit it, that they appreciate it. So everyone was really appreciative of it after and said, you know, thank you for coming forward. It showed your humility. And yes, you know, we feel like that needs to be relooked at. So it's been interesting.
I was just going to say, there was a question that I had sent you in the second part of the show, which, boy, what you're talking about here kind of ties into it so well, but even on the flip side, and actually more in depth, but that idea that, like, as the leader, as the CEO, that kind of, sometimes it's lonely at the top, you have to make tough decisions, and sometimes you do have to put your foot down, but, so it sounds like you've had that ability to do it, but, like, to me, there's just even something more beautiful in the strength about being able to then, even after you do it, to take a step back and go, whoops, it was the wrong one. Let's go to the different direction and get that input. Is that something that you've always had the ability to do? Or do you think that's something that you've kind of learned with experience and maybe the training that you've had?
I think I have less fear with admitting mistakes as I'm older. I think it might be just as you mature and get older, you realize that, yep, we all make mistakes. When I was a new leader, it was really scary to say something like that because I felt like I was still earning credibility. And as I've gotten to the point where I'm at now, I almost feel like I know less than I even thought I knew then. So it's like, I'm really open to making mistakes and sharing where I'm at on it and being human about it, because we are human. And if we try to deny that, then we're fooling ourselves and everyone else sees right through it. So
I agree. That's for sure. It's amazing what experience can give us though, right? Like mm-hmm. once we're comfortable with ourselves.
Exactly.
The last question in this section, if we were to sit down a year from now, what are you most proud of that you and your team have, accomplished? And if you could break out that crystal ball, what's the hope for the rest of this year?
Yeah. My hope is that we are the largest locally owned financial institution in our community. So we have a lot of people looking to us right now and trying to help them with all the challenges they're facing. So I'm hopeful a year from now, if we look back, that we've helped people get back on their feet again, that we've showed up in the community and done what we can do to extend their loan payments, communicate with them regularly, get them back on track. If we get through this without a huge increase in delinquency or the whole world falling apart, like I went through during the recession, it felt like, I will be so pleased and proud. And my team is working really hard to get there. So we'll do whatever we can, hopefully, to make that happen.
That is a good goal. That's a good goal for, I think, all the credit unions out there. All of us, quite
sure.
Honestly.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd like to move on to the second part of the show, the leadership and life hacks. I was really, knowing your background, I was so excited for this part with you. What inspired you originally to take the gig as president and CEO of Bay Federal Credit Union?
Well, when I started my career, I was an auditor of credit unions. So many of you know Gene O'Rourke. Gene O'Rourke was my boss, or actually it was Mike Sacker, who worked in the LA office, but Gene was up in San Francisco and started this O'Rourke and Clark accounting firm consulting. And I got the job right out of college. I didn't even know what a credit union was. I went to my first credit union, Water and Power Credit Union, downtown LA, and I spent 6 years going to different credit unions and went across the whole nation, probably went to 100 credit unions. And I had a chance to really observe not only their financial structure and what worked and what didn't, but I also had a chance to observe culture and what worked and what didn't. And I didn't know it at the time, but it was almost like getting a master's degree and understanding the link between financial results and culture. And I would see financial institutions that I would look forward to going back to, the credit unions, where they were thriving financially, but also they welcomed me as an auditor and I enjoyed being there and the people were nice. And then others where they were struggling financially and I would walk in and immediately feel it in the air. And, you know, the people weren't happy. It was clear that management wasn't communicating with the front line. So when I got tired of traveling, I always tell my new employees this when I tell my story, that it was before cell phones and I was in the traffic in LA and just lonely in this car driving all around. And I decided I need to live in a smaller town. I had a chance to see smaller towns when I was going to a lot of different credit unions and I wanted to live somewhere that felt smaller. And so I looked around and I chose Santa Cruz, California as the town I wanted to live in. I'd never been here. When I came here the first time, I said, this is it. This is my spot. And so I quit my job and I didn't have a job and I moved here and I contacted the largest credit union and it was Bay Federal. And I was really fortunate. I became the CFO. The CEO was retiring. The former CFO became the CEO. And I had a chance to do that for 6 years. And I was really happy in that role. I was involved in operations, finance. It was my calling. And then the CEO left the credit union and the board of directors asked me to apply to be CEO. And I wasn't sure. I was young. I had an 18-month-old daughter. I was like, I wasn't really on my bucket list. And they encouraged me. And so I went ahead and applied for it. And they offered me the job. And I've been doing it now for 25 years.
The rest, they say, is history, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So the part that was kind of blowing my mind through that was, so the audit finance background, well, let me just say this. When you're talking self-growth, when you're talking, coaching and things like that, you tend to think of the more, not the numbers folks that is. So you have it's an amazing perspective that you have, but that you also shared about the financial stability and the culture. And sometimes, you know, those going hand in hand. That I was blown away by all of that. That's awesome. Let me ask you, so since becoming the CEO, like you mentioned, it's been quite some time, but how has the inspiration changed over the years?
For me, the biggest inspiration of like going to work every day and just being involved in this great movement that we're in is working with people and the people that I have a chance to be with. And it hasn't been an easy path to get to where I'm at right now, but I have the best team I've ever had. And usually you can always think of your team and there's someone on the team that you're concerned about or it's just not the right fit. And it's like, oh, if only that person was the right fit, it would be the perfect team. I have it now. And so that inspires me to go to work every day because I'm seeing what an amazing group of people can do together. And we're growing, we're thriving, we're helping our community. We get along well. We are singing off the same song sheet. The organization feels it. It's just a beautiful place to be. So I'm super inspired by that.
That amazing team you speak of, is there something they've heard you say so many times they can finish your sentence?
One of the things I think they've heard me say a lot is to think big and fail fast. That's my motto. You know, I push them hard. They would also, you know, it might not be a sentence, but they would know, like, if they have something to present, they know I'm going to ask a lot of questions. I think it's the auditor in me. And sometimes, you know, I have people when they do join our team, they get coached by other team members and they tell them, like, when Carrie asks questions, it's not you, just so you know, because I can fire fast. I get super excited. I'm curious. I want to know. And if they're not answering the question I'm asking, I'll often fire another question right in the middle. They're, you know, I'm learning to be, you know, patient, but but I can be really intense. But it's because I love it. I get so excited. I want to know more. And I just have so many questions I want to figure out. Like, let's learn this together. And how does it work? And so I think they would describe me like that.
I share that struggle with you, where I'm just other questions. When John Spence was on the podcast last year, he talked about that as well. And he said one of the tricks he'd picked up was to repeat like the last few words that somebody was saying before he asked the question. So, because he was just like, they might still be
just
talking.
So they know, right? They heard, like, you. Exactly. Right?
Yeah. Well, no, he said just to do it internally in his own head, not like say it even out loud. He was just like, just because they took a breath doesn't mean they were done, basically. Right. Like, and I'm like, yep, because I'm like, oh, another question. So anyways, is there a common myth about leadership that you would like to debunk?
I think sometimes people think of leaders as being arrogant or unapproachable or scary or almost like mythical creatures. You know, it's like, no, I'm just a human like you. I can hang out with you and I'll have employees, you know, I'll come into the lunchroom and sit down. They're like, I can't believe you're sitting in here as a CEO. It's like, well, I'm a human too. I got to eat and hang out with you. And then in my community, sometimes people think, you know, like, wow, you must have so many great perks. And of course you get a lot of those when you're the CEO, but there's a lot that, you know, you work hard for and you're caring about a lot of people and a lot of responsibility that comes with it. So yeah, I just try to be approachable and kind to people. And sometimes that debunks myths right there. Yeah.
Absolutely. When we first started CU Insight, when we hired our first employee, I said, I felt like my entire job changed, right? Like it was now making sure that they had food on the table and stuff. So there is a lot of responsibility, as you said.
Exactly.
When you think back to earlier in your career, is there a mistake that you made or one that you see just other young leaders make?
I was trying to think of like, if there was like a mistake. I think overall, the excitement you have as a young leader, I definitely know that I was like this, where I was unafraid to stand up in group settings and share my ideas. And I was so excited to be there and just wanted to, like, you know, let's do this together. It was like in like the late 90s when we were changing the credit union movement and expanding our charters. And I was ready to charge the hill for everyone and help with it. And I remember some of the older leaders at the time, my peers, were look at me like, wow, you have just so much energy. And it's like, almost like, you're so cute. Look at you go, you know? And now that I'm older and I'm kind of observing a lot of younger leaders, I see where they're coming from. I think that you have this almost like an innocence about you. And then as you get older, hopefully we don't become cynical, but it's like the experience of it all makes you realize like, oh yeah, I've done that and I've tried it and this is how I would have done it differently. But, you know, they're going to obviously learn the lesson on their own right now. Yeah. It's just funny to see it go for full circle for me because I was often the youngest CEO. I went through CEO Institute right when I became CEO and I was only 34 years old, you know, so I was young and there was a lot of older leaders in the room. And now, you know, as I get closer to the end of my career, you know, I love watching the new energy come in the room and seeing what they're excited about.
Absolutely. It can energize us as well.
Exactly.
Has there been a piece of advice or a life lesson that you receive that you find yourself going back to over and over, you know, over the course of your career?
I think my dad gave me the best piece of advice. He was CEO of a company as well. And he told me, when you walk in the door in the morning, pretend it's your first day as CEO. What would your attitude be? How would you be approaching this day if it was your very first day walking in?
That's fantastic.
And sometimes I do. I walk in and I'm maybe a little bit tired or it's like, oh, I just, you know, I'm not into it today. And then I'll remember his words and I like literally put a smile on my face and walk in, you know, ready to be there to serve. And it's helpful.
That is an amazing spot to take you back to, right?
Like that's, yeah.
Wow. I love that. I've never heard anything like that before. One of the things that I noticed on the first season was how important mentors were in many of the leaders' lives. Did you have a mentor? Do you have mentors? Like, what does that circle that you learn from or look like to you?
Yeah, for sure. My dad, you know, I mentioned him just now. He definitely was a mentor and still is. My mom passed away 6 months ago. And so I've been kind of a mentor to him now. And it's been interesting just our relationship and how it's changed, but we've become extremely close. And we never used to talk before. When he would call me, I was like, oh, something's wrong. Dad called me, you know, not mom. So now it's like, you know, it's super hard that we lost my mom, but it's also really neat that I've gained my dad kind of in the process. So yeah, he's been a great mentor. I've also, I mentioned Mike Sacker. He was my first boss. You know, he teases me now because he's like, yeah, I kind of raised you, because I was 22 years old when I first started working with him, and I didn't have any concept of being professional. So he taught me, and we have a running joke between us because he almost fired me because I thought time off, like even 6 days, meant you could take a mental health day. So I went to the beach one day instead of going to work, and he was so over that, you know, and he almost let me go, and he coached me instead. And now he's so proud that he did, I think, because I'm still here in the industry.
I feel like mental health days are more accepted now. So
yeah, they probably
are. You're just ahead of your time, right?
Exactly.
That's a kind of a great running joke that you guys have. And it, the next question kind of ties into there, though. Maybe you didn't have this issue at that point, but was there ever a point in your career that you just kind of felt lost, or you had self-doubt? And if there was, like, how did you, any hacks, I guess, to get to the other side?
Yeah, I think I mentioned it in the beginning. I went through that like 3 or 4 years ago. I lost, not focus, but I got to a point where, like, what is this all about? And I felt like I wasn't doing enough. Like, is this enough? What am I doing? Am I really making a difference? And I think it's just because I've been in this career for so long and it felt comfortable to me. And so working with my coach, I got uncomfortable again. I learned more about myself. I realized that some of those feelings that in my head were blocking me from being really effective at what I need to do, which is help others. I've had this tremendous opportunity and honor to be in this role that I am in my community and at the credit union. So how can I serve? How can I be there for other people? And if that's what we do in our whole life, and we help other people and help them be successful, then I think we've made a big difference. And so it was good to get that clarity.
If this is too personal of a question, I just tell me to mind my own business. But was there something that happened 3 years ago to kind of push you over the edge to look for more?
I think it's almost like something that didn't happen. Okay. It was like 10 years ago, I went through the recession pretty hard. Our credit union, you know, went through it in our area. House prices dropped in some cases 50%. The credit union was growing rapidly, so our capital was a little thinner. We were over-leveraged. I had liquidity issues. We just went through everything. Yeah. And it was a really intense time. At the same time, I went through a divorce, and I had 3 kids that I became a single mom to, and just had to figure that out and got kids off to college. And so I think it was like 3 or 4 years ago when everything seemed calm and good. And that's what caused me to like have the self-doubt. It's like, I'm not in crisis. Now what's my purpose? You know,
by nature, I tend to get bored. It's like I need activity and things. So I can see when everything's going fine, I'm like, well, what else can we do? What can I break now? What does the typical workday look like for you? Let's say, I don't know if this is even a good question for today with what we're all going through, because there's no typical, but so maybe the flip side of that, what does that perfect, you know, work day look like for you?
I think the typical day, which is kind of a little harder for me, is spending a lot of time on email. And right now it's like Zoom meetings. That's wiping me out. You know, it's really hard. I'm reading about it. There's actually a whole syndrome where you know, it's paying attention to people and their faces and their backgrounds. It is a lot for your mind to process. And then email too. I can get like just overwhelmed by staring at my computer all day. So I guess the perfect day for me, the days where I get like that total excitement and charge, are several of them. One of them is I greet every new employee on the day they start. So we start employees always the same day every month. And we have a week-long orientation. And I'm there at the door at 8:30 welcoming them and learning who they are. And they get to hear from me along with the training team. And I always love those days. That's a great way to start the day.
That's fantastic.
And we also run like all staff meetings once a month where we can get all together. This time we did it this month on Zoom. But when I'm with other people and I'm connecting with my team, definitely I feel like that's a much better day than just staring at my computer all day.
I think that's really cool. When Chuck Fagan was on the podcast, he goes to every new orientation at BSCU just to welcome everybody, right? So it's a cool habit to have and to continue. You know, before we move on to the last part of the show, if you have a free day, there's nothing on the calendar, what passions do you have outside of credit unions, and what does Carrie do to recharge?
I feel very fortunate, and partly because I chose where I wanted to live, that I lived just two blocks from the ocean. And so every single day I walk to the ocean, start my day down there. But I've learned, because I, part of my quest for learning more about who I am a few years ago is, you know, I don't have any hobbies. I started to realize, like, you know, I work a lot, I'm a mom, you know, those are my big things. But so I've been exploring like different things and what do I enjoy? And the last few years I've been traveling a little bit to places with oceans and that are warmer than where I live. And going in the ocean and being with fish is my number one passion. I decided I was a fish in another life because I feel more at home under the ocean than I do above it sometimes. There's something magical about being underneath there.
You're speaking my language. Are you a diver?
I'm a snorkeler.
A snorkeler. Oh,
yeah. I would like to be a diver, but I have my ears have a hard time equalizing.
Oh, do they really? Okay. That's, Jill just got certified last summer and I've been for a few years now. And it is like, as you probably know, we take off as much as we possibly can before all this happened to, even if it's just for a few days to go be near the ocean and smell the ocean and everything about the ocean. It's my spirit place as
So,
last part of the show, I don't want to take up too much more of your time. I appreciate you doing this. The rapid fire questions, the questions are rapid, but your answers do not have to be. What was Carrie like in high school? And do you remember the first time that you got into memorable trouble?
Oh my gosh. I was kind of nerdy. I was in the honors program. I had a high school of 2,400 kids. There's a lot of people. So I found my group with the honors kids and I enjoyed that. I liked the friend group I was in. I kind of floated between different friend groups. So, but I wasn't definitely part of the very popular kids. I was looking up to them. But the first time that I remember memorable trouble was my parents. I don't know what they were thinking. They left me alone with a girlfriend for 2 weeks. While they went skiing for 2 weeks. So I think they were just off having fun and decided they were going to. And I convinced them I couldn't leave school and I couldn't go. I used to go skiing with them every 2 weeks. I was really fortunate. We were a skiing family. And so when I got to 11th grade, I said, I can't do it. I have to stay in school. And I guess I'll just leave it at this. I have journal entries from them and it's called The Famous 2 Weeks is in my journal. And it starts out saying something like, I've never gotten in so much trouble, but it was totally worth it.
That's fun. Oh, that's so great. I don't think, do parents still leave kids now when they're in high school? Because I don't mind
think they would leave them for 2 weeks.
Yeah, not for 2 weeks, but yeah.
Believe me, I wouldn't.
that's so good. Most of us stumbled into a career in credit unions. You mentioned, you know, first job out of college. What did you want to be when you were growing up?
I went to UC Santa Barbara and I enrolled as a journalism major because I wanted to be a broadcast newscaster. I wanted to be on the nightly news. That was my goal.
Did you pursue that at all? Or
I spent like a year with journalism and then my dad, being a great mentor, said, you know, journalism's great. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, but it was in the 80s. And he said, you know, accounting is something that if you're interested at all in, there's not enough women accountants, and I think you can make an incredible career being an accountant. And I had done a little bit of bookkeeping in high school at a pharmacy where I worked in the office, and I enjoyed it. So I tried accounting, and I thought I liked it a lot. I was like, you know what, it comes easy to me, so I listened to my dad.
I was going to say, it sounds like it was pretty good advice, and the path of journalism has changed so much over the past couple decades. It probably was a fantastic advice now in hindsight, too. any you mentioned taking the walk down by the beach. Any daily routines that if you just don't do, your day feels off?
I think that would be it. What's neat now is that I've added a nightly walk down to the beach because I can be off work at 5:36 and I'm home. So I could just head on down and go twice a day. So I'm enjoying that.
Our dog is sick of us being home all the time from so many walks just to get out of the house. So he's I'm 12. I don't need to go on 4 walks a day. The random question, what's the best album of all time? That one you can listen to without skipping a song.
Oh my gosh. When I thought about this, it brought me back to my yellow shag carpeting in my bedroom when I was a kid, lying with my headphones on. It's probably why I have hearing loss now. I have several. One would be Carole King, Tapestry, always a go-to. Cat Stevens' Greatest Hits, David Bowie, Ziggy Stardust, Led Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven. But I think when I went through this, I thought about it. It's timeless. We're dancing and listening to it in my kitchen all the time. It would be Fleetwood Mac Rumors.
Ah, that's a good one. That's for sure. I'm a reader. Jill and I have a stack of books in our house, and many of them have been recommended to us from people on the show now. It keeps growing. But do you have a book that you've either gifted or that you just think everybody should read?
I have one that I give to expectant parents called Becoming the Parent I Want to Be. It's written by local women in Santa Cruz County, but they're early childhood educators. I had a chance to do a lot of mentoring with them when my kids were little. And what I love about it is like they really focus on understanding the child and what their behaviors are so that as a parent, you can respond appropriately and not just think that they're, you know, being bad children or that the toddler's irritating. It's really fascinating and they helped me so much.
Is that available on Amazon? Or
yeah, I believe it is. Becoming the Parent I Want to Be.
Awesome.
Oh my gosh, I'll have to get you the name of the woman who writes it.
Yeah, we will link to it for sure.
And then for employees, the timeless one that we share also is Who Moved My Cheese? That's a really good one. And I just read it recently and it was appropriate to today's world. So
I read that for the first time maybe 3 or 4 years ago, but it was much later, right? Like then it seemed like everybody else had already read it by the time I did. So that's a good one though. As you've gotten older, what's become more important to you? And on the flip side, my favorite part of this question, what's become less important?
For me, I think it's to not worry so much. So it's become important to kind of be in the moment, be present, especially with everything that's going on right now. I struggle with this because I am a catastrophic thinker. I've been really thinking about, I've been noticing it a lot lately that I go there easily. I think the worst things that could happen are in my head all the time. And so I'm trying to stop the habit of it. And kind of something to do less of would be worry less, because the reality is things are going to happen to us. We're going to go through them. And we're going to, why live through it twice? You know, right. The worry time and then going through it again when it happens. So I'm trying super hard to stay in the moment, be present, be grateful, you know, look at what's happening right now in this moment and not live too much in the past, not live too much in the future.
That is such a mindfulness term. Why live through it twice? I love that. So there's a question I didn't send you. When you hear the word success, who's the first person that comes to mind?
Oh, I'm going to say my 3 kids.
Do tell me more.
They're amazing to me right now. And they're doing, my daughter, oldest daughter is in New York City. She works for Discovery Channel. She got her MBA, you know, 5 straight years at, you know, went through 4 years of college, got her extra year and got an MBA. And she's thriving in New York. And it's hard right now. She's going to be flying home Sunday. And I'm going to be helping her acclimate back into the household after quarantining. But she's doing really well and she can work remotely. My son is graduating college. It's his last quarter. He's sad about the way it's ending, but I'm so impressed that he's pursued. He was not the kid that knew exactly what he wanted to do. And he ended up pursuing forestry and being outdoors and he's doing amazing. And I'm super impressed with him. And my youngest daughter is graduating high school, but she's going through it weirdly as well with no graduation. But she's trying to keep focus on it. And she just got accepted. She just chose Emerson College in Boston to be in the business of creative enterprises. And it's a really neat major. And hopefully she'll get to go this year. It might get postponed a year. But I think of all 3 of them and all the things that we've been through as a family. And I'm really impressed with them.
That's such a great answer. You're the first person in 70 episodes or so now that said their kids. The parents come up a lot, but that's awesome. I love that so much. So it's one of my favorite questions because we all define success differently, right? So it's that's why I don't send it. Well, Carrie, thank you again so much for being on the show and taking the time out of what I know is a crazy busy day right now and sharing your story. The last question that I have for you, do you have any final asks of our listeners today or final thoughts you'd like to share?
I guess just to say that I'm so honored to be in this industry with everyone. This has been an incredible journey and I'm excited to see where the future brings us all. And I love my peers and everyone I meet along the way. And I'm excited to continue to grow in it. I understand you're a DE and you've been through that with the foundation and that's That's in my future. I keep telling Gigi that, but I'm excited to keep moving forward and figuring out what's next. So thank you to everyone for all you do in our industry. And I love that we're all in it together.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again. We will link to everything we talked about in the show notes. If people want to get a hold of you, they want to reach out with additional questions, LinkedIn, the Twitter machine, email, do you have a preferred method of contact?
Probably my email, cbrookhoffer@bayfed.com. Yep.
Fantastic. Carrie, thank you so much again, and have a fantastic day and stay healthy.
Thank you, Randy.
Before we go, I just wanted to give you all a huge thank you for taking the time out of your busy days to listen. And once again, to Carrie for freeing up some time on her schedule to have this conversation with us today. And a big thank you to our sponsor, PSCU. Our friends at PSCU have been longtime partners and supporters of ours, so please make sure to click on their links in the show notes and give them some love too. See everything they have going on to help the credit union community. Also, we are on all the podcast players out there, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, the Googles. We would appreciate if you would subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating, maybe even a review on the old Apple podcast machine. It helps with the visibility of the show and us spreading, you know, this credit union love. If you don't think we're worth the 5 stars, just forget I asked. And you can reach out to me directly and let me know where we can improve. And then don't also forget about the CU Insight Experience podcast book list. Need some extra stimulation for the old mind while social distancing? We've got you covered. Get your next book recommendation from the guests on our show. Thank you all again for listening, and I hope you have an amazing day, and please stay healthy, my friends.